Welcome to The End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. To continue our series of podcasts where we answer questions emailed in to us at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com, this week we try to answer Jill from Lincoln, Nebraska. Her questions all revolve around the arrest of Lee Harvey Oswald at the Texas Theater. She asks, when exactly did Oswald arrive at the theater? Where in the theater did he sit? Did he interact with anyone while he was at the theater? And was Jack Ruby also sighted at the Texas Theater that day? And what exactly happened that day at the Texas Theater when Oswald was arrested? And how do witness statements differ from the official version of the story?
When was the first time you saw Lee Harvey Oswald?
I saw him that Friday afternoon, November 22nd. He walked into the lobby of my store.
How far in did he walk out there, John?
A few feet. He was standing right about where those tennis shoes are right there, just about 5 feet from the door there.
What made you suspicious of this man who walked into the lobby?
Well, right after the president had been shot, they broadcast a description on the radio of this man. It was 5'8", 5'9", 150 pounds. And this Oswald matched the description. And just a few minutes before he walked into the lobby, on the radio they had a bulletin that an officer had been shot here in Oak Cliff. And he walked in, he matched the description. Looked scared, just the way he stood there.
You were standing right here behind the counter?
Standing right here behind the counter, listening to the radio.
And where did he walk to? How far into the lobby did he come?
He walked right into the right-hand side of the lobby there, just a few feet from the door, and stood there looking in at the shoes there.
Were there a lot of police cars in the area?
Yeah, there was a lot of police cars. There were some cars coming up Jefferson Street. They made that U-turn there and went back down Jefferson, and when they did, Oswald turned and walked up to the theater. When he went out the lobby and toward the theater, I walked out to the sidewalk and watched him go in. Then I walked up to the theater and asked Miss Postal there, the cashier, if she had sold a ticket to this man wearing the brown sports shirt, you know, his description. She called the police, and Butch stayed there at the front exit, and I went back down by the stage, the back exit, and waited there until the police came.
Did you get the suspect?
According to the Warren Report, this is the story of how Lee Harvey Oswald was captured inside the Texas Theater. Quote, shortly after the Tippit murder, police sirens sounded along Jefferson Boulevard. One of the persons who heard the sirens was Johnny Calvin Brewer, manager of Hardy's Shoe Store, a few doors east of the Texas Theater. Brewer knew from radio broadcast that the president had been shot, and that a patrolman had also been shot in Oak Cliff. When he heard police sirens, he looked up and saw the man enter the lobby, which was a recessed area extending about 15 feet between the sidewalk and the front door of his store, end quote. Brewer says this man was hiding from a police car at the time. He described the man he saw as wearing an untucked brown sports shirt. After the man left the recessed area in front of his shoe store, Brewer then walked outside to follow the man and saw him enter the Texas Theater. Brewer told the Warren Commission, quote, I walked up to the theater, to the box office, and asked Julia Postal, who sold tickets at the box office, if she had sold a ticket to a man who was wearing a brown shirt, and she said no, she hadn't. And I said that a man walked in there, and I was going to go inside and ask the usher if he had seen him, end quote. Julia Postal, for her part, told the Warren Commission that she saw the man she later identified as Oswald, and she said he was wearing a brown sports shirt, was medium height, and quote, ruddy looking to me, end quote. Ruddy looking usually means for having a red complexion. So Brewer talks to Postal, and then goes in to find theater assistant manager Butch Burroughs. Brewer asks Burroughs if he had seen a man in a brown shirt enter the theater without a ticket, but Burroughs, who had been working behind the concession stand counter, had not seen anyone. But Postal and Burroughs later explained to the Warren Commission that the reason Burroughs failed to see the man come in the theater was that the man must have gone straight up to the balcony, using the stairway near the entrance. Otherwise, Burroughs would have seen him. Next, Brewer asked Burroughs to show him where the exits were in the theater, because the guy who had just snuck in looked suspicious. Around this time, Julia Postal had called the police to tell them about a suspicious man in the theater. The house lights were then turned on in the theater. Shortly after that, the police arrived and Brewer told them where the suspicious man was sitting in the lower part of the theater. Patrolman Nick McDonald then approached Oswald to arrest him, but Oswald did not go easily. He stood up and started yelling before taking a swing at McDonald. Then there was a struggle over Oswald's firearm that ultimately resulted in Oswald getting a black eye and the firearm being removed from his possession. Oswald is shouting the entire time, quote, "I am not resisting arrest," end quote. Finally, the police took Oswald to the station at the front door of the theater. So that's the official Warren Report story of the capture of Lee Harvey Oswald. It's the story of Johnny Brewer and Julia Postal seeing a man wearing a brown shirt, like Oswald was wearing, who then snuck into the lobby of the Texas Theater without buying a ticket and ran up the stairs straight to the balcony without being seen by anyone. This man then ended up in the seats down on the lower level. But to help answer Jill's questions, if Butch Burroughs didn't see the man in the brown shirt enter the theater, did anyone else see him? And what else do we know about the exact movements of Oswald inside the theater? It turns out that Butch Burroughs had more to say about what he saw that day than what he told the Warren Commission. But that's because he only answered the questions that he was asked. No one on the commission asked him what time he saw Oswald enter the building. The Warren Commission only asked him questions that they knew would fit with the official narrative. Burroughs would have this to say about the time Oswald entered the theater on the Man Who Killed Kennedy series.
We were playing two movies called War as Hell with Audie Murphy and Cry Battle with Van Heflin. And we started the movie at 1 o'clock and I was carrying candy behind the candy case. And he also slipped in around between 1 and 1:07.
Burroughs also told author James Douglas the jaw-dropping information that he sold Oswald popcorn at 1:15 p.m. If Oswald arrived at the theater between 1 and 1:07 and he bought popcorn from Burroughs at 1:15, it would be impossible for Oswald to have killed Dallas officer J.D. Tippett, since the murder happened around 1:15 according to the Warren Report. But then again, that would also mean that if Burroughs is right about the time, that Oswald must have gotten a ride to the Texas Theater to be there by 1:07. We know that he could not have walked there that fast. But we already know from Brewer and Postal that there was a person who was wearing a brown shirt who came in off Jefferson Boulevard much later after the radio had already broadcast Tippett's shooting. But wouldn't Burroughs know if he had sold popcorn to someone? How could he have sold popcorn to Oswald 1:15 if Oswald didn't enter the building till at least 25 minutes later around 1:40 p.m.? There were about 15 to 20 people in the theater at that time. Before Oswald bought his popcorn, he sat down in the seat right next to Jack Davis, who was 18 years old at the time and was never interviewed by the Warren Commission. Davis wondered why this man was sitting next to him in a theater with hundreds of open seats. Davis then saw Oswald get up and move to another seat, which was also next to one of the few people in the theater. Davis said it looked like Oswald was looking for someone he didn't know personally. Davis said Oswald sat next to a few other people for a very short time and then got up and walked to the lobby. It was at this time that Oswald bought popcorn from Burroughs, who said it was at 1:15 p.m. After Burroughs sold him popcorn, he saw Oswald walk back in the lower section of the theater and sat next to a pregnant woman. Burroughs recalls that after some time, the pregnant woman got up and went to the ladies' restroom, and he recalls hearing the restroom door close shortly before the Dallas police came rushing into the theater. Here's fellow researchers Vince Palmero and the late Jim Mars talking about Oswald's movements in the theater that day.
When Oswald's in the theater, and according to witnesses, he's like going from person to person to person in the theater. He's like getting up and he moves like four or five times going next to the people in the theater. It's like he's like waiting for orders or waiting for a handler or something.
In fact, Jack Davis that I interviewed was an 18-year-old kid. Now picture this, you're an 18-year-old kid and you're off work and so you're in out of school and you're going to go see this war movie. So you go to this theater and it's got 900 seats in it and there's only about 20 people in there and they're scattered just all around the theater. So you go and sit near the back over in the right section by yourself, and the next thing you know, this young fella comes in, squeezes past you and sits in the seat next to you. He's going like, you know, what's this? What does this guy want? But the guy doesn't say anything. And pretty soon, just within moments, nobody says anything. So he stands up and then scoots past the guy, goes out and goes across the aisle sits in the middle section over there, third row, third seat, you know. And so this guy kept his eye on him because it's like, I wonder what he wanted. And then pretty soon he saw the police come in, saw the house lights come up, and they all came up and grabbed him. It was Lee Harvey Oswald, okay? So not only was Oswald in there apparently trying to make some kind of contact, but he also, Jack Davis said that he'd just gotten in the show and settled down, and the feature had started, and it started at 10 after 1, which means that he saw and encountered Oswald in the theater minutes before Officer Tippit was shot. Oswald didn't do it. He was in the theater.
Right.
And the Butch Burroughs, the assistant manager of the Texas Theater, has confirmed that to me, too. If you go check his Warren Commission testimony, he talks about how somebody sneaked into the theater about 1:30, and he heard the doors open, and he went around to collect a ticket, but there was nobody there. And he thought that whoever had slipped in might have gone up to the balcony. And that's what he's quoted telling this story in the Warren Commission. That's why everybody thinks that this is how they got on to Oswald, because they figured somebody slipped in the theater without paying for his ticket. But when I went and sat down and carefully interviewed Butch Burroughs, he said, yes, all that happened, but that was not Oswald. He said Oswald came to the theater shortly after the show opened at 1 o'clock, and that, in fact, he came out and saw him moving around, which corroborates Jack Davis's story. And then he said he came out and bought popcorn from him. So here's another witness, alibi witness, can place Oswald in the theater when Officer Tippit was shot. So see, this throws the whole Officer Tippit shooting just up in the air, because all these years they've argued, and I've heard people say over and over, well, you know, if he wasn't guilty of shooting the president, then why did he shoot the cop? Okay, right. Well, now we can just turn that around and say, well, since we can prove he didn't shoot the cop, maybe he didn't shoot the president, like he said.
Oh, man. So let me get this right. So Oswald's in the theater buying popcorn. I mean, and he's going from person to person, like waiting for a handler. Obviously, yep. He's a patsy. Obviously, he's been set up. Now, were any of these people interviewed by the Warren Commission who saw Oswald? There you go again.
No. Jack Davis wasn't interviewed, and Butch Burroughs, like I said, had told of two entries, and they only reported his account of one. You know, the whole thing's just screwy.
It would be helpful if there was a way to know what all of the witnesses who were in the theater that day had to say, not just Jack Davis. But unfortunately, none of the witnesses gave statements to the FBI or Warren Commission about what they saw, and they've been really hard to track down. But in 1998, at of all things a school function for one of my sons, I was speaking with a man who was asking me about my research into the assassination. We knew each other and he was aware I was a researcher. He said to me, by the way, you need to speak with my uncle who lives in Dallas. He was in the theater the day that Oswald was arrested. And what's funny is his story doesn't match up with what you hear on the documentaries about what happened that day in the theater. So to make a long story short, I was able to contact his uncle and conduct an interview with him about what he saw that day in the theater. Mr. Alpike would then proceed to tell me an incredible story. He was sitting in the theater's balcony a few minutes after 1 p.m., and a young man who he always thought was Lee Harvey Oswald came and sat next to him in the balcony of the theater. He thought it was strange that the man sat next to him, because the balcony only had like 3 to 4 people up there, and there was a ton of empty seats, and the man sat right next to him. He said it actually made him feel uncomfortable. After a few minutes, he said the man asked him if he had some bazooka bubblegum, and he said, excuse me? So the man asked him again, and he said, I said, no, I do not have any bazooka bubblegum. As soon as I said that, the man got up and went and sat next to another person that was several seats down. He hears the man say something to that person he sat next to, but could not make out what he said. He estimates that about 15 or 20 minutes go by, and he hears some commotion from the lower section of the theater. He hears people shouting and a man yelling, I'm not resisting arrest. He then says two police officers then come up to the balcony and go to the young man that was just a few minutes ago sitting next to him. And the man calmly gets up and leaves the balcony with the police officers. He stands up to see what's going on, and he sees the police officers take the young man at the rear exit of the theater. He would see Lee Harvey Oswald later on the news, and he told his wife that he witnessed the arrest of Oswald. He said that the man was sitting next to him was Lee Harvey Oswald, or an exact double. I told him, and by now he knew the official story, but he tells me the official story is a lie. He said, I was in the balcony with Oswald, and he was taken from the balcony by two Dallas police officers, and there was no struggle like they said it was. He said, I will go to my grave knowing that it was Lee Harvey Oswald that was in the balcony that day, and he was led out of there by two police officers. So what is the truth here? We've talked about the idea of two Oswalds already on several episodes of this podcast. As you study and research his case, there are instances in the record of people saying that they saw Oswald who seemed convinced of it, but their sightings are at times when Oswald's presence is already indisputably accounted for in the record. For example, Ralph Yates, the guy who was sent to the asylum, said he picked up a hitchhiker who looked just like Oswald and was saying things that would be incriminating for Oswald. Go back and listen to episode 10 to hear Mr. Yates' incredible story. Another example is Sterling Wood and his father seeing the man who looked just like Oswald at the gun range on a day that Oswald was with his family and Ruth Payne at the Payne house. The other big example that we've looked at in detail is when multiple witnesses saw a man who looked like Oswald running down the hill in Dealey Plaza to get into a Nash Rambler station wagon after the assassination. Go back and listen to episode 9 to hear the complete account. Also, we have the account from Mr. John Thomas, who I interviewed years ago. He said that he saw both Oswalds on a city bus, almost at the same time, just a couple of weeks before the assassination. He spoke with both men on the bus that day. So now we have another one of those potential double Oswald sightings at the Texas Theater. The mystery has to do with which exit Oswald was taking out of the theater by police after his arrest. There is also some confusion as to why some parts of the official record state that Oswald was discovered in the balcony and not the main floor of the theater. So as we continue to answer Jill's questions about the activity in the Texas Theater that day, let's look at the exit scenarios. The official story, which I believe is correct, is that Oswald was taking out the front door. There is a famous photo of Oswald struggling with police as he is taken out the front door, which resolves the issue alone. Numerous statements from officers that day, including Sergeant Hill, also support the idea that Oswald exited the Texas Theater through the lobby and then the front door. But if it really isn't disputed that Oswald went out the front door, then why are there three witnesses who say they saw Oswald taken out the back door of the theater? According to Butch Burroughs, who sold Oswald popcorn at 1:15, he saw a second arrest with the suspect taken out the back of the theater. In an interview with Jim Douglas, Burroughs said that the Dallas police arrested, quote, an Oswald lookalike, end quote, 3 or 4 minutes after they arrested Oswald and took him out the front. Burroughs said he could see the second man just as well as he could see Oswald, and that the man, quote, looked identical to Oswald, end quote. Bernard Hare, who owned Bernie's Hobby Shop, which was 2 doors down from the Texas Theater, also saw an arrest happen in the back of the theater. Hare was in the front of the theater at first, but he couldn't see what was going on because of the crowd, so he went back through his store into the alley out back. The alley was full of police cars, but there were fewer spectators. There in the back alley, Hare witnessed what he thought for years was the arrest of Lee Harvey Oswald. He said he saw two police officers bring out a young man who was a spitting image of Lee Harvey Oswald. It wasn't until 1987 that Hare found out that Oswald had been taken out the front of the theater. Al Pike told me in an interview in December 1998 that he sat next to Lee Harvey Oswald on the balcony and saw him led out of the balcony by two Dallas police officers a few minutes after hearing some commotion from the lower level, which apparently was the arrest of the real Lee Harvey Oswald. So from the stories of Bernard Hare, Butch Burroughs, and Al Pike, there is some evidence for the idea that another person who resembled Oswald was taken out the back door after being arrested. But is there any documentation to support the idea of an Oswald lookalike being arrested and taken out the back of the theater? Well, yes, there is. In the official homicide report for J.D. Tippett, it says, quote, suspect was later arrested in the balcony of the Texas Theater, end quote. Dallas Police Detective L.D. Strangfellow said in a letter to Captain Gannaway that is now in the Dallas City Archives that, quote, Oswald was arrested in the balcony of the Texas Theater, end quote. You can now easily find this report online. Assassination researchers for years believed that the Oswald lookalike is the one who was arrested in the balcony and taken out the back of the theater. You may think that this is a big claim that requires a large leap, but you have to admit that something else other than what we were told by the official record was going on in the theater that day. And if the two Oswalds isn't crazy enough, there's also a witness who says that Jack Ruby was in the Texas Theater when everything went down. George Appling Jr. was watching the movie when lights turned on and the police stormed in. At that time, Appling went to the back of the theater as the officers prepared to move in on Oswald. While sitting in the rear, Appling told a man sitting in the back row that he would be smart to move so he didn't get hurt. Appling identified the man as Jack Ruby in 1979 when speaking to reporter Earl Goltz. Appling told Goltz that, quote, Ruby was sitting down, just watching them. And when Oswald pulled the gun and snapped it at the policeman's head and missed, and that darn thing wouldn't fire, that's when I tapped Ruby on the shoulder and told him he had better move because those guns were waving around. He just turned around and looked at me. Then he turned around and started watching them. End quote. But previously, when Applin was interviewed by the Warren Commission, he said that he had never seen the man since then, implying that he didn't know who the man was. When asked why he was coming forward with the idea of Ruby at the Texas Theater 15 years after he was asked by the Warren Commission, he said, quote, "I'm a pretty nervous guy anyway, because I tell you what, after I saw that magazine where all those people that were kind of connected with the assassination had come up dead, it just kind of made sense to me to keep a low profile," end quote. So what difference does it make that Jack Ruby was at the Texas Theater that day? By virtue of being present at the Texas Theater when no one else knows this major event was going to happen, it would tend to show that Ruby had foreknowledge about the arrest and wanted to be there to witness it for himself. And when there is foreknowledge, there is a conspiracy of some sort. Of course, all this speculation about Ruby depends on whether a single witness, George Applin Jr., actually saw Ruby. And keep in mind, we have reports from the reporter Seth Cantor, who said he saw and spoke to Jack Ruby at Parkland Hospital after the assassination. It seems Oswald was in two places at once. Maybe Ruby was also. That's why we call this diving down the JFK assassination rabbit hole. Jill, I hope we answered your questions. We'll see you next week.